This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human animal connection.
Well, hello, everyone. So glad you tuned in to the Human Animal Connection Show, because I'm really excited to speak with Adele Christensen. She is an energy healer. She's an animal communicator. She works with champion horses. And I'm so excited because we're really going to delve into what the horses have to say about all that's going on in their lives and how we can work as partners. And in our next show we do together, we're actually going to work with a trainer that Adele works with and a competitor who does high-level, world-class competitive horse jumping and all this good stuff. And we will learn how they work together with the horse to find out what the horse's opinion is. And that's, of course, very important to us in the human animal connection, that we consider the horse's opinion and all animals' opinions whenever possible, whenever we're doing things that affect their lives. So Adele, thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie, for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So first, let's start out with, how do you connect with horses? So there are some people that are completely on board with that, and they talk to their horses and they hear their horses, and other people is like, what? What do you mean you can talk to horses? So how would you kind of explain your process?
I think everybody has this capacity, and it's a question of flexing the muscle, so to speak. My body and my sensitivities are exquisite diagnostic sensing devices. And basically, I do the same thing in telepathic communication that I do as a medium. I open my central nervous system to signal. And telepathy is about signal. So we listen to the radio, we trust electricity. There's a lot of signal that humans take for granted in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, we don't need machines to convey it for us. We can do it ourselves. And this is how the ancient humans did it.
So for you, signal is kind of like the information transfer wave or something. This is like you're tuning into it, or have I not said that correctly?
You're on it. So as a remote viewer, when I was studying with the heads of the Stanford Research Institute, we open our right brain, right? The right mm-hmm. hemisphere is a receptor brain, mm-hmm. and we relax our awareness. As a healer, we might call this feeling out to higher levels of the field, the energy field. And then I just start to notice what arrives. Now, if I have a client, I would use that horse as a target, and I would set my intention to connect. But when I'm working with horses and other animals, I'm going to expand my heart field. Many mm-hmm. people don't know that your heart has more neurons in it than has your brain. And that's why if we want to know something, we know it by heart. If we want to feel somebody, we reach out with our heart. So I expand my heart field in a 360-degree radius, and I expand it until I find myself touching my target. And then I start to notice what I notice.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify for the audience, when she says target, she doesn't mean as an end for a bullet. She means the focus of her intention. So just to translate that, I could say, no, the remote viewing word is target. But for people listening for the first time to this information, target would be the person that she's intending to communicate with. Go ahead.
Thank you for clarifying that. So say I want to work with a horse named Yorka or Dennis. I would set my intention to open my awareness, and then I would soften my awareness. I get still, and then I allow information that's there to arrive. Mm-hmm. Now, we can feel the information arrive through our senses, and this happens energetically, and it arrives through vortices known as chakras, through mm-hmm. which we metabolize energy. So that if I'm grounded in my root chakra, I might sense kinesthetically what's happening to Dennis, and I will feel it in my body. I'll feel it physically. If I'm sensing through my third chakra, I will get an intuitive hit.
Okay.
If I go to a part of his body and I suddenly realize his stomach is angry or frustrated, I realize I'm sensing the emotions through my second chakra. If I'm sensing in and I get a movie, he sends me pictures. That's working with my sixth chakra, which is my clairvoyance.
Okay.
If I get a direct thought that I know was not mine, I know that I'm open at my crown and I'm sensing through the seventh chakra. So we're kind of pinging the keys here like a piano, double checking one data hit against another with one chakra and another to see, does what I feel mesh with what I observe, and does that fit with what I'm knowing? And I check all of that, and then these come in as fractal pieces of information, which then my client helps me put together.
Okay, good. So I know some of our listeners have asked, and they want to learn animal communication, and they're not sure how to tell the difference between, let's say, a feeling in your stomach. Like, how can you tell the difference? How do you know that it's Dennis the horse who's having anger or frustration in his stomach versus you being hungry? How can you feel the difference?
This is a great question. And it's one question that, as we're learning, is the big question. And it's also followed up with, am I making this up? So the first thing that we were taught as healers was, consider the onset of this feeling you have. So if I'm walking into a room that has a meeting in it and suddenly I'm feeling very angry, the first thing I'm going to ask myself is this feeling mine or is it someone else's? Because you may be aware that the chakras work to create an energetic bubble around us or an energy field. It's known as the aura. Each person has one. Each group has one. Each flock of birds has one. Each herd of horses has one. And Lynn McTaggart writes about this in The Field. So when we come up with an emotion and we're wondering if it's ours, the first question we want to ask is this mine or does this belong to the field? And we can then open ourselves, say my gut, and I'll scan the group and suddenly my gut is going to connect with one person. And I know, wait a minute, this is the source of that anger. And then I open my other senses and, oh, wow, I can see a cloud of frustration over that person. And I might open my senses further and feel into something that might have happened to them earlier in the day to get them so upset.
Yes. Excellent. So you become, as you've practiced, and you're very well practiced, you're very proficient, you're a professional, you make a living at this, you have come to be able to distinguish between a sensation that you're feeling in your body, but one that has originated in your own experience versus one that you have connected to in the field that may not be your own. And I guess this takes quite a bit of training and practice to get to the point where you can refine and say very clearly, oh, okay, I wasn't feeling angry when I walked into this room, you know, now I'm feeling angry being in this room. I wonder who might be angry here. You know, that kind of willingness to both explore, but also to be kind of diligent about what's really your own or generated from within versus what has come to you from perhaps another source. Yeah. Great. Well, that's wonderful information. So let's talk a little bit, because I know you work with trainers. These are people who are winning championships worldwide, and they hire you to find out what's going on with their horses, even though they have quite a bit of understanding about their horses on a certain level. But there's sometimes a situation that they need help with. And can you give us maybe a story of how a trainer might have asked you a question and how you work with them to help understand what was going on with the horse?
Sure. We have lots of examples of that. So in terms of working with clients, as a medium and a conduit, a telepathic conduit, my goal is to stay in the flow. My goal is to establish connection, and it's really a three-way or multiple-way connection. I'm connecting the individual with the horse and sometimes with other horses, because as with people, sometimes issues can be subconscious and the horse might not be able to express it consciously, but boy, the horse's friends know exactly what's going down and they can say exactly what's happening. So when I'm working with, say, an idiomatic issue.
And what does idiomatic mean?
So a lot of times people will come to me when they don't know who else to go to. And they'll say, well, the vet doesn't understand this, and I have a behavioral issue, and I want to get to the bottom of it. And I do have a great example. I was working once with an eventer. So this would be a horse who's running field events, which include high speed as well as jumping. And the rider was feeling as if something was wrong. His horse didn't love what they were doing. And he was afraid that the horse was developing a behavioral issue. And he wanted to get down to the bottom of it. And I started to, as I said, kinesthetically sense in. So that's like opening my body to feel, what is this horse feeling in his body? This was a gelding. And immediately, I could feel a momentary fugue state where suddenly he's not sure where he is and how he got there.
Yeah.
And that he's working very, very hard to keep his rider safe. And on top of that, as you allow that information to sense in, and then you start to assess a little more deeply. Okay, are you feeling a discomfort in your body? And actually, I got literally a jarring sensation in my head. And I slowed myself down further to explore, did you get hurt? And he showed me an image of him in a paddock, and he actually had sustained a blunt trauma blow to the head. As I deepened, so he shows me this image. So I'm seeing the movie from his point of view, and he's hitting his head. I'm feeling the impact below the left eye socket. So I'm feeling like there may be minor fractures along that zygoma. Wow. And then I go into the cranium, and I'm feeling an elasticized movement of the brainstem as it is pulled and stretched forward, and then pulled and released backward. Now, as an EMT, I associate this with a coup contra coup blow to the head. And this is what the horse is showing me.
Is that kind of like whiplash?
It is whiplash. So if you are rear-ended in a car from... So you get hit behind, your body, the force of the impact is going to throw your body forward, and then it's going to pull your body back, which is why people in a motor vehicle accident, right, MVA, also can sustain internal head injuries that might belie what we observe as bruising from the seat belts.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the front of the brain hits the skull and the frontal cortex gets injured, but also the brain stem gets a little stretched.
Yeah.
And in my experience with this horse, he's showing me that's what happened. And consequently, he's feeling very unsteady on his feet. So I relay this to his rider, but now as a telepathic animal communicator, I am the first to tell my clients, I'm not licensed to diagnose.
Right.
I must stay within the scope of my own practice. Ergo, present this information to the other members of your veterinarian team as a high index of suspicion.
Okay.
In fact, he took the horse to get an MRI, and that's exactly what they found.
So he didn't know that this horse had this head injury. He was unaware of it until you brought it up.
Well, he thought it might have been a possibility.
Okay.
And this is really important because working with trainers is a contact sport. It's a team sport. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will come to me and they don't know, but when I mention an event and did he ever hurt his head? Oh yeah, he was out in the paddock and he was romping around and yeah, I think he did. He might have. We wondered about it. One day we came in and he seemed different. So in a good partnership, I will stay in the right brain and the person I'm reading for is going to be the frontal cortex. They're going to make sense of it because I don't want to pop out of signal.
Exactly. Right. So you're staying in the state of really being connected with this horse and offering up that information and they can go, oh yeah, you know, we were wondering about that. And then they can get the verification through medical testing and so on. So what happened, we're going to take a short little break, but when we come back, I want you to tell me what happened as a result of this reading.
Okay.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection podcast. I'm here, Jeannie Joseph, with Adele Christensen, an energy healer and telepathic interspecies communicator. And we're hearing this wonderful story about a trainer who was concerned that his horse was having a behavioral issue that was going to create problems in continuing to compete and in continuing to have good riding experiences. Adele connected with this horse. The horse told her about an injury, which he later confirmed with MRIs of the horse. So what happened? How did that, you know, like he wasn't worried, oh, I got to get rid of this horse because he's not jumping anymore. What happened between them after you explained this?
Well, the trainer was able to advance care and apply the better care. So he put the horse on his horse on rest. But most importantly, recognized that this was not a behavioral issue or shirking duty or a lapse in work ethic, mm-hmm. that it was in fact, and I could feel how hard this horse was struggling to keep his rider safe. Mm. And that's something I have noticed about the nature of horses, that they are very, very concerned with their own safety and the safety of their riders and their herd.
Yeah, well, this is so important because I know there are a lot of situations where horses get sold off or, you know, put out to pasture or something because there's a so-called behavior issue when it really is pain. And it is something that the vet hasn't noticed because the horse is not necessarily obviously showing it. I mean, you have to be really paying attention to notice that there is some kind of a change, but that it might not be a behavioral issue. It might be physical. So that's really wonderful that you're able to help people do that. I want to talk a little bit about how you have come to understand the true nature of horses from the work that you've been doing communicating with so many horses over the years.
Horses are exceptionally telepathic because they are herd animals and prey animals. They have an amazing ability to collaborate telepathically. And I have come to revere equine wisdom. The first wild Mustang, her name is Phoenix, with whom I ever communicated, immediately started to tell me about her pride in her heritage. And she said, she showed me the plains out west, and she showed me herself galloping in a herd of 40 horses. They were being hunted by helicopter, by people who wanted to kill them and use them for dog food. Oh. And the way she phrased it was they were sweeping us up from the plane like so much garbage to be disposed of.
Mm.
And she said, and she was actually rescued by my client from a kill sanctuary. And she's living a wonderful life now, but she wanted me to understand the importance of wild horses mm-hmm. to the world.
Yes.
She said, our hoofbeats caress the earth and we hear her and we contribute our hoofbeat to her own drum roll.
Mm.
We carry an ancient wisdom that's wild. And her view was that the use of purebred horses was actually breeding, man is breeding the wildness out of nature.
Yes.
And she feels that it's very important for us to be able to not go deaf to the wild tones of nature, which she represents.
Wow. Yeah, I that's just absolutely beautiful. I mean, horses, the wild horses are really carrying the spirit of the nation, you know, the country, and we are not doing good by them. So we definitely have to do better. We definitely have to do better. And have you seen, like, in your work with healing or communication that one horse, oh, you've mentioned that a little bit earlier, that sometimes one horse will not know what's bothering them, but their friend in the herd will explain. Can you tell us a story about that, where one horse helped you understand what was going on?
I have lots of stories. So horses not only collaborate with one another, but they collaborate with their people, and they are excellent business partners as well. My client Martha has a gelding Yorka, and Yorka will tell her when she's, and she always consults him for business questions, and he'll say, when you don't know what to do, do nothing and it will be made clear.
Great.
He also has a really good understanding of the interrelational dynamics among people. And at one point, she was balancing the horses she was working with the clients. And he recognized that one client needed to be led by her more.
Hmm.
He encouraged her to take a leadership role with this client. And he encouraged her to also make different, very specific decisions in her business. At one point, he told us, this farrier is no good, and the next one you're going to be working with will be coming from the West. And he actually foresaw this farrier who did come from the West, who is now working with her. Another horse in this cohort, Kilimanjaro, was weighing the business of her business and decided that he should volunteer to work with a specific client whose needs best met his abilities. Mm. So he was graduating from being a top competitor into an older horse, and he recognized that as his abilities were starting to decline, his performance level, that mm-hmm. he would actually be better suited for her to pair with a rider who was suited to his capacity. So the horses are able to act as agents of the business.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to identify where they are best needed from
yes.
a business perspective.
Yes, that's wonderful. I know you told me one story about a client was asking you about a vet, and you talked to three horses and got three opinions. Can you tell that story?
Well, actually, that was about a trainer.
And oh, a trainer.
I was very apprehensive because this is affecting somebody's livelihood, and I want to not be judgmental. I want to be clear that I am just in the flow of what they are saying. But what was very interesting is all three horses agreed on how this trainer came across. And the trainer had a very authoritative, hardline demeanor. Mm-hmm. One horse called the trainer a Prussian. And While one horse in this group was feeling overwhelmed and not able to express himself, there was an older mare in the group who said, basically, bring it on, buddy. I know you're a big name brand and I'm going to ride you to the finish line. That's an expression. They're actually hunter jumpers. But her point was, I can ride his branding just like he's going to ride me. And her perspective was, hey, riders come and go. I'm not going to get too caught up in you, but I'll use you just like you're using me for my performance. And her performance was very self-referenced. Mm-hmm. That was just one example of two horses having a very different take on the same trainer and having very different results with that individual.
So that's why you really have to ask the horse, because if you have a horse and you're not asking the horse their opinion, you're really missing out on getting the whole picture, you know, because somebody could decide, oh, you know, this trainer is so famous and so important and how could I be wrong? But, you know, if you recognize that one of the horses is not doing well with this trainer, we need to really tune in.
Yeah. Exactly. Not everybody is right for everybody.
Yeah.
And but also, I find the best trainers are the ones who are very curious mm-hmm. about what their horses want and what they want to say. And they're also, they have cultivated their intuition and their deep contact. Mm-hmm. And I can sense these people a mile off. They just yes. inherently want the best for their horse and no questions asked. And they have and maintain a yes connection. And you see it in their riding. You see it the way they collaborate in union. Yes. And that's what I do to try to cultivate the relationships between my clients and their horses.
Yeah. I think the more we move into partnership with animals rather than the ownership model, the better it's going to be for us and for them. Yeah. So when is a time that maybe a horse told you something that just completely surprised you, you weren't expecting, but that really maybe was a valuable lesson or experience for you, that a horse taught you something? I know you have a million of those stories, but
see. Well, I do, and I'm hoping to bring in a trainer to talk about some of these stories in one.
Yes,
of
we will. We'll do that in our next episode.
Podcasts, yeah. But mm-hmm. This trainer was getting ready to transport one of her horses overseas, and she wanted me to tell him that the flight was going to be delayed, the transatlantic flight, and this was my first connection with him ever. And the first thing out of his mouth was, well, I expected better from Lufthansa. And I just dropped my jaw. Uh-huh. I got back to her and I said, is the carrier Lufthansa? She said, yes, the carrier Lufthansa. So here I am talking to like some fat cat in the airport lounge who has his opinions about the carrier, has his opinions about delay, and was a little frustrated by it. That blew my mind, actually.
That's mind-blowing.
And here's the thing. That was not my thought.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's wild. That's absolutely wild. Well, that's wonderful. So what is up next for you? You've had such a wonderful career, but I know you have some directions. You're in training to become an animal chaplain. And what would you hope to do with that, with horses?
Well, ideally, I would like to work in-house for an event, say the Hamptons Classic or even the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, as an in-house chaplain to help sanctify the events, to help make meaning in what happens, to help everyone upwell their best performance and to open a full circuit of appreciation and performance.
Mm, that's beautiful. Well, have you ever had a horse tell you, no, I don't want to compete, or, you know, do something that was maybe different from what the owner had in mind for the horse? Have you ever had a situation like that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I know you were curious about how horses work together. And one of my clients has a horse named Yorka, and she was considering retiring one of her mares named Penny. And Yorka stepped in to the communication and let us know, one, that Penny would be fine retiring. Secondly, he knew where Martha was considering sending Penny. He sent me an image of this place, and he had already telepathically connected with other retired horses there and was able to assure us that all her needs would be met by the woman running the sanctuary, and that Martha should drive Penny to the sanctuary herself. And Martha said this was a huge revelation to her because it enabled her and her clients to have a very meaningful farewell and to really personally bring Penny into her new home.
Beautiful
story. And that was all Yorka's recommendation.
Wow. So one horse looking out for another horse and being able to see what is best past what we humans with all our ideas might have been thinking. So that's just an inspiring and beautiful story. Well, Adele, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I know we're going to have you on again because we're going to have you and the trainer you've worked with so she can corroborate some of these stories of how communication has really transformed relationships between her and her the horses that she works with. So how can people get hold of you if they'd like to connect with you?
Well, you can email me at adelekristi@gmail.com. And I have a website, rippleeffecthealing.com. And you can send me a message through that. And I would love to hear from your listeners. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. And we'll see you again very soon. So thank you for being tuned in to our Human Animal Connection podcast. We hope to see you very soon or hear us very soon in the next episode. And we'll say aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overley, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com. Or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.